Welcome, all of you visiting and all of you who have been members here for many years and those who are worshiping with us online. We're so grateful. The Paschal greeting in many parts of the world and many parts of the Christian faith. On Easter, they greet each other by saying, Christ is risen. And then the response is, he is risen indeed. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now. Can we do that? All right. So I'm going to, let's reintroduce ourselves here. All right, here we go. All right, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Some of y'all got that right, some of y'all didn't. Okay, we're going to do that over again. All right, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Look to your neighbor to your right and left and say, Christ is risen. And tell him he is risen indeed. Amen, amen. It is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Man, it's so good for this time to remember, to celebrate in a special way the resurrection of Jesus. Now, we live inspired by the resurrection every day, but much like anniversaries, birthdays, and holidays, we take this time to recognize and honor in a special way the resurrection of our Lord. You know, the resurrection, as was stated earlier, really is the foundation of the Christian faith. With the resurrection, there's Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. And so our faith is based in and on the resurrection. You know, the resurrection was the message of the early church. That's what they preached. It wasn't just that Jesus died, but that he rose again. And in fact, you know, I looked it up, and at least from my own study, in the book of Acts, which is this kind of chronicling of the first century church, or really the early church there, at least when they were going out, there was at least 16 times there was reference when they were out sharing their faith where they talked about the resurrection. And I tried to look it up, but I couldn't. And so I tried my own study here. So Eric Innes, he'll probably go ahead and fact check me here. But I went and I looked, and at least out of 18 of the 27 books of the New Testament has an explicit reference to the resurrection. And so as we can see, the resurrection, again, is the foundation of the Christian faith. And so we celebrate that today. And we are so happy that, as we talked about a couple years ago, that the tomb is empty. Because if the tomb was full, you and I would not be here. And you wouldn't have got wet on your way over here as well. And so we're so grateful that the tomb is empty, that Jesus lives. And with the resurrection, there's so much that's given to us through the resurrection. Hope, joy, peace. And I want us to look at and talk and explore the idea of the resurrection giving hope. You know, hope is important to have in life, isn't it? You ever had a time where you felt hopeless? That's the way I feel with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Me and Chris Meir, we mourn. Look, he's shaking his head. We mourn together every year. And I used to have hope going into the season. And I would talk to Chris, and he'd be like, man, it's not going to be a good season. And I'm like, no, they're going to be good. And then by about the third month, they would be terrible again. And this year, I came to realization without Shohei Ohtani that they're going to be terrible. And it happened to me again. The baseball season started, I think it was a Tuesday, something like that. And I look at the Angels score, and it says they're up 1-0 in the first inning. And I look, Mike Trout hit a home run. And I tell the kids, they're on spring break, hey, kids, guess what the score of the Angels game is? They're like, what? I said, it's 1-0. Mike Trout hit a home run. They go, yeah, because they like Mike Trout. My family, we're Angels fans. About an hour later, I look at the score, and the Angels are down 9-1. I said, kids, it happened again. The Angels are going to be terrible. See, there's no hope for us when it comes to the Angels. You guys get what I'm saying? Those who are Dodgers fans, you have hope. But anyhow, the Dodgers score. I don't know what the Dodgers score is. They're a lot to a little. But the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, gives us the greatest hope. And it gives us the thing that is the most surefire, most solid rock foundation thing to put our hope and faith and trust in. You know, the resurrection helps us to know that with God, our story isn't over yet. And in fact, that's the title of our time here is, It Ain't Over Yet. Now, I know we have a lot of educators in the room, and so you're struggling right now with the improper grammar. Sorry, Gene. And so here it is for you, for all of those. It's not over yet. So you pick and choose which one of the titles you want to use today. If you want the common folks, you could go with "It ain't over yet," or you could go with "It's not over yet." I'm going to roll with "It ain't over yet," okay? So just forgive me. Yes, I do have an education, but it ain't over yet. Let's go ahead and let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this day to gather with your children, to gather in the name of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to be able to gather and to celebrate the day in all of history that changed the globe. And Father, we are so grateful that we have this chance to respond to the resurrection. And God, I pray right now that we will be inspired by the resurrection, that we will gain hope from the resurrection, and we will live lives for you through the resurrection. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to go over to Matthew. And so we're going to go back for us to appreciate and to understand the hope that is given through the resurrection. We're going to go back to see how the hope or the resurrection gave hope to the first believers and followers of Jesus, which we would call disciples of Jesus. Disciple meaning student or follower of Jesus. And so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. Church, are you with me? Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry, and it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Now, this was really big for the Jew in the first century because they had been waiting for at least 400 to 500 years for this promised kingdom of God that would rule the earth. And so in their minds, they're going to have this physical kingdom that was like King David before, that was going to be radiant and overthrow the Roman rule. And it would be something that would be glorious. However, God had a different plan, and God wanted to establish a spiritual kingdom. But for the first hearers of Jesus, this idea really resonated. It gave hope. Wait, the kingdom is near? It's at hand? It's coming? And so they're already intrigued. And so we go forward and we see some of the responses from his first followers. It says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." And so we see some of the responses from his initial followers. This idea when he says, "Come follow me," when a rabbi would go to a Jewish male of a young age and he would say, "Come follow me," that meant, wow, I get a chance to learn from you and become a rabbi. And so Jesus, when he makes this call, the apostles understand this. They're like, whoa, I get a chance now to participate in this kingdom business that you're talking about. And you're going to have me go out and fish for people. You're going to have me be a part of this mission that you are on. And he promises many other things for them to be the light of the world, for them to be a part of God's plan for redemption for God's people. And in fact, they're so sold out. I want us to take a look here at John chapter 6. We're going to jump to a different gospel. It says in John chapter 6, "From this time, many of his disciples," let me back up here for a second. Jesus had said some hardcore things that people really couldn't understand or misinterpret it. And so many of his followers, they're like, "Oh, this is a challenge to follow you if you're preaching this." And so here's what their response. "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Their response is interesting. They are fully convinced that Jesus is someone special. In fact, they say, you're the Holy One of God. You have the words of eternal life. That's some serious praise, isn't it? And so we can see, they say, you know what? It doesn't matter how many people leave you, Jesus, we're still in there with you. We're going to follow you no matter what, because we don't just believe, we know you're the Holy One of God. That's conviction right there, isn't it? And as we know, Jesus goes, and we're going to skip most of his ministry here. We're going to get to the cross. And so they stick with him until the day of the cross, until his false arrest or his arrest and false trial that he has. He gets convicted to death. And most of the apostles have left because they're out of fear, thinking that they might too suffer the same consequence. And we take it up in Luke chapter 23 and verse 44. It says, it was about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Let's stop right there. Best way to read your Bible is to insert yourself into the story. Let's do that for a second. Let's go back 2,000 years ago, and let's go to that moment, not just of the cross, but I always wonder, what was Friday afternoon and Saturday like for his followers? What was that like? They saw Jesus do miracles, they participated, they were excited. Then this trial and then this crucifixion, the death of a criminal, their Lord and their hero suffered. What was it like that Friday afternoon and evening? What was that Saturday like? I call that the silent Saturday. I'm sure for the apostles, there wasn't a lot of joy. They didn't think that that Friday was a good Friday at that time. You with me, church? Just think, what were they thinking? What were they feeling? I'm sure there was maybe the temptation or the thought of anger, mad at all the people who turned on Jesus, who called him to be crucified. I'm sure there was doubting. Is he the one? I thought he was the Holy One of God, but he died. And even though Jesus had told them this would happen, it didn't register for them. I'm sure there was confusion. Is God for us? Because if God was for Jesus, then he wouldn't have had him suffer. So is God still with us? I'm sure there was worry. Man, did we just waste the last several years of our lives following and doing all these things, sacrificing? I'm sure that it led to being hopeless. Because again, they're thinking this is a physical kingdom. And the one who was ushering in this kingdom, the one who was going to be the king, has now died a horrific death. And so now all that hope was lost. And it was all over. However, Sunday's coming, and it ain't over yet. Sunday's coming and it ain't over yet. And as we know through history that Jesus rose from the grave, and we're going to take it over in Luke chapter 24 now. He rose from the grave and he's already spent some time with the apostles. He showed himself to them. He showed himself to family. It says in the scripture, over 150 people saw the resurrected Christ. And so we capture at the end of what we call the Gospel of Luke, some words from Jesus to his followers. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Hey, guys, this has been in the scriptures the whole time. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. You see, it ain't over yet. You see, what we thought and what many thought was that Jesus' death was the end of the story. But no, it was just leading up to God's plan for the redemption of mankind. It was all a part of God's plan for salvation. And this resurrection revived the hope of his followers. They revived their hope in Jesus and God's plans for their lives. The disciples went from hopeless to full of hope. The disciples went and they decided they were going to live for this good news of Jesus and testify to the resurrection to as many people as possible. And God fulfilled his promises in their lives, and he worked and fulfilled his will through them. They became members of God's spiritual kingdom, following Jesus' life and teachings, and then they became the light of the world, and they became God's agents to transform this planet. And we are some of the beneficiaries of their hope in Jesus. You see, the resurrection gave them hope, but the resurrection still gives hope today. And it gives hope for everyone who would call and trust in the name of Jesus. And here's the thing, and why it's so important. Because some of us, we're right now living in that silent Saturday. Some of us, we're in that silent Saturday where we're maybe perhaps angry about life, and so therefore we're blaming others and mad about our circumstances, or maybe upset about the things that have happened to us, holding us back. Maybe some of us, we don't see a way out of our current situation that isn't good or healthy. We don't see a future for our lives. We don't believe we can change or overcome that bad habit or that addiction or really overcome that sin that has been weighing us down in our lives. Some of us were doubting if God loves, cares, or is present with us. And some of us are wondering, man, have I been wasting my life? Have I been wasting my time? And so some of us, we have a lost hope. And maybe we say this consciously, or maybe it's just subconsciously. But the resurrection helps us understand that Sunday is coming in your life and it ain't over yet. I said Sunday is coming and it ain't over yet for your story. You see, God has a plan of redemption for your life. And God has a plan of resurrection, or God has a plan of hope through the resurrection of Jesus. You see, with the resurrection, there's a hope for today, there's a hope for our future, and there's a hope for eternity. In fact, I want us to look at a scripture. Church, are you still with me here? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So Peter was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus. And some would call Peter the apostle of hope, because Peter continually talks about hope. However, Peter, during those days in which he didn't see the risen Jesus, had went back to his old life. Because why? He felt hopeless. I thought he was the Holy One of God, but he died, and so I'm just going to go back to this way of living because I just wasted my time. But then he saw the resurrected Christ, and he became the proclaimer of the resurrection. And in his letters, he talks about the resurrection, and he talks about the hope we have no matter what the circumstance is. And it was all through the resurrection of Jesus. Let's read this. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." It says the resurrection gives birth into a living hope. Not just a hope, but a living hope. We have a living hope because we have a hope that comes from a living, resurrected Christ. It's not a past hope. It's not a dead hope. No, because Christ lives and resurrected, so therefore we have a living hope with our hope in Jesus. And it says we have an inheritance that's kept in heaven that will never perish, spoil, or fade. That's an inheritance, isn't it? You know, I don't have much to give my kids for an inheritance. We were blessed to buy a house many years ago for $240,000. Yeah, y'all like, whoa, that was a miracle. It was then and it is now. And so that's that and probably a pair of Nike Air Jordans is all that I'm giving my kids. There you go, baby girl, baby doll, and baby boy. That's your inheritance from us. But look at this inheritance that we have for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the hope of heaven. The hope of eternity with our Father and Savior. And this is a hope, and this is an inheritance that says it can never perish, never spoil, nor fade. That means it's an inheritance that can be, that's untouched by death. It's unstained by evil and undamaged by time. Our inheritance in Christ is death-proof, sin-proof, and time-proof. And it's guarded by God's power. That's a serious security system right there, isn't it? Nobody's breaking through that one. And this is the inheritance for those who are followers of Jesus. This is what we have, what we get a chance to look forward to, and it is guaranteed for us. This is a hope for all eternity. But we also have, because of the resurrection, a hope for our future and a hope for today. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Church, are you still with me here? Ephesians 1 verse 17, this is the Apostle Paul who saw the resurrected Christ and gave his life up for Christ. And in fact, he died for his faith because of the resurrected Christ. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Check this out. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. What's he saying? Or again, it's talking about this hope and this inheritance, but something that stands out. He says, hey, know what I want you to have? I want you to be able to experience the power that is available to you in Jesus. And it's the same power that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. That's the power that's available for you and for me. That's incredible. So what does that mean? That means we have the hope for today. We have the hope for change. We don't have to be the same person that we were before Christ. We can be and we can be more and more like the risen Jesus in our lifetimes. That means we have the chance to change our lives, our character. We can change our circumstances can change, and even our relationships can be transformed because of the hope of Jesus through the resurrection. We have the hope and the power to conquer our sin, our bad habits, and our addictions. The raised Christ gives us power, grace, and strength to overcome our fears, our doubts, our struggles, and to live with purpose. Brothers and sisters, we have hope not just for the eternity, not just for a few years, but we have hope for today and this hour. Amen. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, I want more and more of that. And I've been able to experience some of that. I think about my life before I became a Christian, and there was times I go, there's no way I can overcome my sexual immorality. I remember I tried before I became a Christian, and I was just weak. I was like, man, there's no way I can overcome this drinking, this giving in. Whenever there's an opportunity, sin, I just give in. And then I became a Christian, a real Christian, and been able to overcome and conquer the sexual morality, the giving in to sin at just a whim. The ability to overcome the drinking and be able to stand before you somehow by God's grace and preach a message on Easter. For that, I say hallelujah. I say, boy, there's a God that lives. There's a Christ that lives. And because of the hope and the power, God, this is available for each and every one of us. And not only again for today, not only for a few years, but for all eternity. It's because of the risen Christ. And so the question for the hour, I believe, is this. Am I experiencing life with living hope? Am I experiencing this today? Am I living with living hope? Not just a hope, but with God's resurrected living hope. Am I experiencing this today? I don't know about you, but I want to experience it, and I want to experience it more. And I think there's a couple things that we need to do. We need to seek and to keep the living hope. We need to seek and we need to keep the living hope. You know, this promise and inheritance is for the true Christian, those who have a right relationship with God. And so therefore, the first thing we need to do is we need to seek the living hope. That's make a decision to pursue a real relationship with God. Because I know for me, when I claimed to believe, but yet my lifestyle offended God. When I claimed to be a follower of Jesus, but I lived completely outside of his will and in violation of his commands. When I became aware that I realized I wasn't in a right relationship with God. That I had a faith, but I didn't have the faith that comes from a living hope. And so the very first thing is we have to be honest. I appreciate Josephine saying I grew up, but I didn't get it. But then when I did start to study the Bible, I did realize who Jesus was, and therefore I responded properly. And so we have to first make a decision to seek out a true relationship with God. Some of you may be feeling, well, I'm too far. I've sinned too much. Well, Sunday's coming. And it ain't over yet. It doesn't matter what the past has been, because Sunday's coming and it ain't over yet. Your story isn't over if you turn to Jesus. Our God is a God of love. He's a God of grace. And he's calling you to seek a real relationship with him, founded and rooted in love. So I encourage you today, if you're visiting here with us today, the best way is to seek God by getting help through his word, through those who are living with this living hope. And for the others, we need to keep the living hope. You know, once we have it, we have to hold on to it. We got to keep it, don't we? You know, like any relationship, we're either getting stronger or we're getting more distant by what we do today. And so some of us, we may be regressing in our faith, but Sunday's coming and it ain't over yet. We still have a chance and opportunity to get up and get back and get right with our relationship with God. And so the antidote for that is to get open and to seek help today from the brothers and sisters of life so you can keep living with living hope. Right now, we're going to come to a close here. The resurrection of Jesus means your story isn't over yet. The resurrection means there's hope, and not just any hope, but living hope. And this is a hope for eternity. This is a hope for the future. And this is a hope for today. And our response to that is to seek and to keep the living hope. And we just, for a second, will you imagine with me? Will you imagine your life with living hope? Imagine your life this week with living hope. Imagine your life this year with living hope. Imagine your life in 10 years with this living hope. Imagine your life in 20 years with this living hope. Imagine the lives you'll touch through your living hope. Imagine enjoying your inheritance that can never fade, spoil, or perish. Imagine enjoying that inheritance because of your living hope. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen, and with God, it ain't over yet. Thank you. Amen.